Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Praise God. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Praise God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Praise God. Amen. Doesn't something happen inside of you when you hear those words? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you would stand, we're going to read the word of the Lord. And one more time, I'm going to say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Oh, praise God. That I think that would be a little louder if everyone did that. Well, the old people get it anyway, right, Brother Rossi? All the time. God is good. Amen. Praise God. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. Oh my soul, I can't get that out of my heart now. Praise God. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Something ought to rise up inside of us when we hear those words. All that is within me, bless the Lord. 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Praise God. You may be seated. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. His divine power is talking about the divine power of Jesus Christ. If you read the verse before that, it says that grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power. Matthew 28, 18, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Jesus was not just a man. Jesus was not just a teacher. He was just more than just another leader. He was God Almighty manifest in the flesh. He had the power of the Almighty God existing in his mortal body. He had divine power, all power. Say all power. All power in heaven and earth was given unto him. Praise God. Isaiah 45 and verses 21 through 23 describes the kind of power that was resident in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 45, 21, tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior, there is none beside me. Verse 22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Verse 23, I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Praise God. That's the God that we're talking about. That's the power that was resident in Jesus Christ. We're talking about the God of the Old Testament. We're talking about the God of creation. We're talking about the eternal God, the Almighty God, the one God. There was no other God. Jesus Christ said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The all-powerful God. He was all alone and still is all alone in his majesty. The one omniscient God. He knows everything about everyone and everything that exists. He is the omnipresent God. He's everywhere, all the time. Praise God. He's the God who made us. And he's the God who will judge us. Jesus made the claim to have the power of the Almighty God resident in him. All power in heaven and earth. Peter says that Jesus had the divine power of God. Amen. A man with God's power. Just think, if we had God's power, what would we do? I've heard people say, well, he's lucky I'm not God. Not sure that's a real good attitude to have. Because the Bible says whatever judgment you judge with is the judgment that you will receive. So you want to be careful about that attitude. There was one character in film that was pretty excited about that kind of idea. He said, if I were king of the forest, not queen, not duke, not prince, my regal robes of the forest would be satin, not cotton, not chintz. I'd command each thing, be it fish or fowl, with a woof and a woof, and a royal growl, woof. As I'd click my heel, all the trees would kneel, and the mountains bow, and the bulls kowtow, and the sparrows would take wing, if I were king. Each rabbit would show respect to me, the chipmunks genuflect to me. Though my tail would lash, I would show compassion. For every underling, fie, were king. Praise God. I was going to ask Scott Linderson to do that, but he wasn't here tonight, so he would have done much better. Praise God. If I were king of the forest. There was a blog that I looked at, said if I were prime minister for a day, and there were a number of things that around there that people would do if they were prime minister for a day, but all of them had to do with Great Britain, and we wouldn't have got the point, so I didn't read that. And then I Googled if I were king for a day, and I read all these things that people said about, you know, if I were a king for a day, well, I'd change. They had all these wonderful things that they would do. You know, they'd change governments. They'd feed everybody. They'd do all these wonderful things. But I really wonder what we would do if we, just for a day, were king. I really wonder what we would do if we had the power that we always wish we had, how we would really handle it. What part of our human nature would be evident? Sir John Dalbert Acton, the 8th Baronet in 18-something, he was the baronet from 1836 to 1869, said something, you'll recognize it as soon as you hear it. He said, power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. What would you do if you were king of the forest? Look at Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What did Jesus do with all that power? He humbled himself. Became obedient to his Father. The word says there that who being in the form of God, that's not saying who looked like God. What that phrase there really means that he was of the nature of God, that in fact he was God. That's what that really means. Who being God manifest himself in flesh and humbled himself. You realize that at any time during his walk on this earth, he could have manifest great power. When he was there being tempted by the devil, he could have just cast that devil into the fire right on the spot. But he allowed himself to be tempted, the Bible says, in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. He allowed himself to be dragged to a cross and nailed to it. In between any one of those hammer blows, he could have stopped the process. He existed as God, yet he allowed himself to be treated like a man. He took on the form of a servant, of a slave, really is what that says. And he shared human nature with you and me. He humbled himself to death on the cross. Look at verse 9. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, does this sound familiar? At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Praise God. That's a quotation of the verse that we read in Isaiah. That's describing Jesus as the mighty God of creation. Remember, the almighty God, the omnipresent God, the God who said there is no other, that he alone is God. There's only one God, and his name is Jesus. Praise God. He has manifest himself in flesh so that we can be partakers, according to this passage, of his divine nature. Paul is telling us that Jesus was the only true God. Now, it's important to believe this. It's not just a matter of religious doctrine. It's necessary to believe this. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sin. Well, that seems harsh, doesn't it? But the fact is, what he is saying is that it's as much as a doctrinal thing, it's a practical thing. Because without a proper understanding of who Jesus is, without belief that he is the mighty God and manifest in the flesh, you cannot receive the blessings that are available through that wonderful name, the name that is above every other name. Because in that name, there's salvation. In that name, there's healing. In that name, there's deliverance. In that name, all power in heaven and earth dwells and exists. So in order to access those promises and that authority and that glory, we must understand that God was manifest in the flesh, reconciling the world unto himself. Praise God. The Bible says in this passage that we read at the beginning here that he gives us everything we need for life and godliness. Sometimes we read these passages, and I must have read that 20 times in my life at least, and never really thought about what he gives us in that power that comes in the name of Jesus. We have everything we need for life and godliness. Through the divine power that was in him. And of course, the only way, Jesus said this, before he left in a cloud, he said, tarry ye in Jerusalem, he told his disciples, until you be endued with power from on high. For ye shall be witnesses unto me. So the divine power that Jesus was talking about in Matthew 28, He said, you wait here until you're endued with power from on high, for you shall be filled with the Holy Ghost in just a few days. So the power that Jesus was talking about, that he had, the divine power, is accessed by his children, by his people, through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And the only way to access that is by responding to what happened on the day of Pentecost. For when they were all together in one place, they were with one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat upon each of them, over 120 of them. The cloven fire, tongues of fire sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise God. And it caused such a ruckus, it rolled out into the street, and the Bible says that Peter preached to thousands of people on that day. And they asked him, how can we access this power that you have? How do we receive forgiveness for our sins? Because we recognize that Jesus was the Christ, that he rose from the dead, and we need forgiveness for our sin. Anybody want to have the power of God in your life tonight? Anybody have anything you want to be washed under the blood so that God will never remember it again? That's forgiveness of sins. They said, what do we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Because in that name is all power in heaven and in earth. And you shall receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, wherein is the power that Jesus told them to wait for. Oh, praise God. I'm talking about divine power. We don't use that word divine much anymore. You know, maybe somebody might think that, you know what, something they're looking at is just divine. You know, just beautiful, just wonderful. That's such a mamby-pamby use of the word divine. Amen. Isn't it? Divine power. The power of the Almighty God. The power of the creator of the universe. The power to speak worlds into existence. That's the power of God. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Peter 1 and 4. Not only that, not only do we have divine power that is made available to us, but we also, and all things that pertain to life and godliness, but verse 4 says that whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Hallelujah. We used to sing a song, said, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Praise God. Hello. There are so many promises in the Bible. We have a tendency in our modern age to somehow put the Bible in some ancient frame of reference so that it somehow doesn't apply to today. But if any problem, any situation, any difficulty that you have is addressed in that book. You have problems with your children, there's instruction there on how to raise your children. You have problems in your marriage, there's instruction in the Bible on how to treat your spouse and how to behave appropriately in a way that will win them over. There's one thing after, if you're having trouble with your finances, there are promises in the book. Exceeding great and precious promises, more than just material and momentary promises. Of course, there's the promise of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God promises if you will truly repent, you will truly ask him to forgive you and commit yourself to a change, that he will. The Bible says you shall receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. On the day of Pentecost, they were all filled and began to speak with other tongues, the Bible says. In the 10th chapter of Acts, the same thing happened to a group of people that didn't know hardly anything about Jesus or about the Old Testament. But when they were preached to by Peter on that day, the Bible says that while he was yet preaching, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And how did they know? The men that were there, they said, we know they have the Holy Ghost because they have received it just like we did, speaking in other tongues. That's a promise. You can be filled with God's Holy Spirit tonight. That's a promise from the Almighty God of the universe. That's not just a Calvary Gospel Church promise. That's not just a United Pentecostal Church promise. That's a promise from the Creator. Divine power. Promises like joy unspeakable and full of glory. Promises like peace that passes all understanding. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You can walk in fellowship with the family of God. You can have forgiveness of sins. You, most of all, we can have eternal life in the presence of God and his children forever and ever and ever. Praise God. I really believe in heaven. I also happen to believe in hell. Now, some people choose to just believe in heaven. Where they get that belief from, I don't know. And where they claim the promise from, I don't know. But if you're going to claim the promise of heaven through Jesus Christ, then you're going to have to accept the terrible thought of hell without him. The Bible says that when we are with him in eternity, there'll be no more tears. There'll be no more fear. The Bible says that we will know him as we are known. We will understand exactly who Jesus is and how it is that he could be manifest in the flesh. Praise God. All the questions that we have in this life, all the things we don't understand, the reason why, the why questions that we don't have the answers to, we'll have those answers then. Praise God. Probably because we couldn't handle them right now. Hallelujah. What great will of fellowship with God. I don't think we even begin to understand that. That is the thing that, when I first came into the Pentecostal church, you know, there were great people here. They loved me. They reached out to me. I didn't even know them, but some of them knew who I was. And when, the minute I came in the door, they were shaking my hand and welcoming me, making me feel at home. And I thought, these church people, I don't know if I could ever fit in here. But they made me feel at home. And what great fellowship. Just think about it. Think about the people in your life you can't trust outside of this building. Praise God. There are no better people than the people of God. Amen. And then there's deliverance. God promises to give us deliverance from our own weakness, our own sin, our own addictions, our own ingrained negative attitudes and responses, the things we picked up from our parents and from our grandparents and from our siblings, and the hurts and the pains and the damage that was done to our spirit as we were growing up. All of those things, Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we have a Heavenly Father who understands the affliction that we feel. He understands the hurt and the pain because he came and walked on this earth as a man and felt the same thing. But most of all, if we read to the end of this second verse here in chapter 1, it says that we can be partakers of the divine nature. That is beyond my comprehension. The nature of God. God's very being, his very character. We can be partakers of this character of the Creator. He can change us to the point where we can reflect his glory, where we can represent him in the world, where when people see us, they can see Jesus. He can do that through his divine power. Now, I know I've met some people in my life that they actually thought they already had the divine nature, but we're talking about the real thing here. See, that was the promise that the serpent gave to Eve. He said, you eat from this apple and you will be like God. That's really our heart's desire. And he gave that to Eve and she believed it. But we have the same promise available today. Just look around you. Pick up a magazine. Look at any media that you want to. The same promise is there. If you get this degree, you'll be like God. Well, they don't use those words. But, you know, you'll have control of your life. You'll have everything straightened out. You get this job. You work for this company. We tell ourselves the same lie. If I could only get that job. If I could only find that perfect relationship. If I could just marry the right girl. If you just take this drug, you'll feel like God. Buy this car. You'll look like God. And if I could just make this much money every year, then I would be like God. No, we don't put it in those terms, but that's really what's driving us. I'll have more power in my life. But none of this will make you like God. It won't even make you like a king or a queen or a duke or an earl. Ruff. But you can become a child of the king. You can become a child of the living God. You can have divine power living inside of you, working out of you in the power of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. That's a promise from the Creator of the universe. Praise God. We can grow to... I'm not saying that the moment you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost that you're gonna walk and talk and act and think like Jesus. The Bible says we still carry this old man around. That's why we're fasting for 21 days, so we can make this human nature become subject to the Holy Spirit. Praise God. I want divine power at work in my life, not for my sake, but so that I can be pleasing to the one who died on the cross for me. So that I can lead someone else to understand and receive this truth, and they too can live with me forever in heaven. Praise God! Divine power! And the reason he gives us divine power is because he wants to develop in us his divine nature. He wants people to see Jesus. Now, if you look at yourself right now and you see someone that doesn't look at all like Jesus, I'm telling you, you can change tonight. You can receive divine power in this place. It's a day-by-day thing, step-by-step, hour-by-hour. We become more like him the more we surrender to his will. But we receive all the other promises of God along the way. Amen. But look at the very last phrase in verse 4 in 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And that's the trick, isn't it? Escaping the corruption that is in our human nature. I know what it's like to come into a Pentecostal church and see these holy roller Pentecostals all around and think, man, I can never be like that. Who are these people? Praise God. My wonderful and talented and beautiful mother-in-law is visiting with us here today, Karen Evison. And we were having a conversation last night about life, as we usually do when she's around. And I got to talking about when I was young. I started smoking cigarettes when I was 7 years old. I started smoking marijuana in the summer between seventh grade and eighth grade. And didn't quit till the day before I got filled with the Holy Ghost. The first dance I went to in seventh grade, so it was in the fall, the first school dance in seventh grade at the public school, me and all my buddies decided we were going to meet at the park before we went to the dance, and we pledged that we were all going to bring something to drink. So I snuck up into my parents' liquor cabinet and poured some booze into a mayonnaise jar, and that's what I drank for the first time in my life, and only remember half the night. Now, I'm not saying that to glorify sin. What I'm saying is that I really needed Jesus when I came into this place. I didn't know anything else. And when I came into Calvary Gospel Church and I saw and heard these, all I could think of was holy. I didn't know there really were holy rollers till I came into Calvary Gospel Church. I thought I was just something in the movies. And I surely didn't think that I could ever be one of them. But I felt something that time I was there. I felt something happen inside of me. I felt the Spirit of God all around me. I didn't know what it was. I didn't understand. But I could understand why they were lifting up their hands, and I could understand why they wanted to move around while they were worshiping, because they never did that in my church when I was growing up. But I could feel something, and it made me want to do the same thing. Praise God, because there was divine power in that church service, just like there's divine power here tonight. But we have to choose to escape from the corruption that is in the world before we can receive all of these exceeding great and precious promises. We have to make a choice. Do I want to keep living the way I've been living? Or do I want divine power that gives me the ability to obtain the divine nature? Let's stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you'll just lift your hand and worship the Lord for a moment. Praise God. Praise God. This is just to prove it doesn't have to be loud for you to feel the Holy Ghost. But I know we can feel it here. Paul said on Athens Hill that he is not far from any one of us if only you will feel after him. He was talking to people who didn't know anything about Jesus. He said he is not far from any one of us if you'll only feel after him. He's not far from you. It doesn't matter where you came from today. It doesn't matter what your day was like, what your week was like, what your life was like. He's not far from you, and he is willing to give you his divine power to have victory over sin, to have victory over addiction, to have victory over weakness in your flesh. He can heal you. He can make you whole. He can set you free. He can heal your broken heart. He can heal your broken mind. He can lift your broken spirit, because he, all power in heaven and earth is given unto him, and he is here to pour it out in this place for you today. On the day of Pentecost, they heard that message that Jesus Christ was the Christ that was crucified and rose from the dead. And they said, "Men and brethren, what should we do?" And the answer was this: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You can receive that promise tonight and begin a new life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Walk in the light, John said, as he is in the light. You have that opportunity. You may be walking under a cloud. You may have had darkness in your life up till this point, but I'm here to tell you that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's neither variableness nor shadow of turning. What that means is that when the light of the living God shines in your life, there's no question about where it's coming from or where it's leading you. It's coming from the throne of God, and it's leading you right to heaven. Just walk in the light. Walk in the light. Praise God. If you need something from God tonight, if you just want to start fresh, if you need to be healed, and especially if you want to be filled with the divine power of the Holy Ghost, I want to invite you to come to the front. If you need healing, come on down on this side, and we're going to pray for you. We might put oil on your head, we might not, but we're still going to pray for your healing. If you need something changed in your life, if there's something you're struggling with, just can't get over the hump, there's divine power and exceeding great and precious promises that are available here tonight. Jesus Christ wants to make you more like him. Come on down right in the middle, and he will change you. And if you have never been baptized in Jesus' name, you have never been filled with the Holy Ghost, it's God's desire. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of the truth. He will fill you with the Holy Ghost. His power is here. Come right down here and pray. We ask him to forgive you for your sins. He will hear you, and he will forgive you. He will give you faith to receive the promises of God. He will fill you to the overflowing with his Holy Spirit, and you will receive a blessing that you never expected. God is present here. He is willing, if you will only let him touch your mind and your heart and your life. Come on forward and pray, and we'll pray with you. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.